All right, everybody. Welcome to Rest Hold Wrestling with Dustin Bork. So this is the inaugural broadcast, to say. Basically, I'm going to be coming on every week. You know, we'll go over Raw. We'll talk about wrestling and what's going on in the industry. Kind of recap, look back at, you know, what was with the wrestling industry, almost back to when it was WWF, and, you know, how everything's changed and what we're looking at now, the product, and what we're going to be looking at in the future. So just to give you kind of a quick little idea of where I came up with the name, I'm basically just kind of, you know, trying to think of a name because I wanted to get this podcast up and running, and you know, like, what rhymes with wrestling? And it's tough because technically it's a name that begins with a W. So do I do the, you know, do I do the aesthetically pleasing thing and do two words with a W? And then, you know what I mean? Like blank, blank with Dustin, or, you know, so I couldn't figure it out. So ultimately I just started looking up some wrestling terms, and I kind of cracked up when I came across Rest Hold, because they have it defined as a hold that takes place during a match that gives wrestlers time to breathe between high spots, applied lightly without pressure. So if you're a diehard wrestling fan like myself, someone who's been watching every damn week since, gosh, I was 12 and even realized what the hell wrestling was, much to my parents' dismay, You think, and you kind of can picture some of these instances, right? I can think back to certain matches where I'm watching, and then all of a sudden, the guy who's got, you know, one of these guys in a headlock, it's like, well, that's not doing anything. And you're thinking to yourself, how are you supposed to sell me that is actually choking this guy if I can see 3 inches of space in between your bicep, forearm, and his neck? And nowadays is wrestling, they'll even do a headlock that's literally wrapped around a dude's jaw instead of the neck. So that's, I mean, you want to talk about how times have changed. You know, back in the day, back in the 90s, when you would watch, you would actually think the dude was getting choked out because these guys would sell it hard. You know, you'd see veins popping out of their foreheads, their heads would turn red, they'd start holding their breath. You know, there wasn't a real amount of pressure applied to their necks, but damn well, I mean, damn it, you thought they were getting choked out. You certainly didn't see all this space and realize how BS, you know what I mean, how BS the hold is altogether, but I don't want to go along, you know, on a 5-minute rant here on how I came up with the name, but I just thought it was funny. You know, it rhymes, Rest Hold Wrestling. So what the hell? I figured we'll roll with it. And I kind of like the idea, when you think about it, that this is a podcast where you can just stop by and relax, sit back, you know, take a breath, shoot the shit, talk about wrestling, and just kind of, you know, go with the flow and just kind of regroup, which is really what Rest Hold means. You're taking a breath, you've been putting on a great match, and you just need that 10 seconds of, whew, you know, the deep inhale, exhale to kind of get it together. So, I mean, there it is for anybody who decides to listen to this. That's how I came up with the name. So, Rest Hold Wrestling with Dustin Bork. I'm going to do this every week now. Whether or not I actually am able to post it at the end of every Raw, that's, you know, that's to be seen. Who the hell knows? I got a hectic life here. You know, I do a few other shows, and you know, pro football shows, and you know, basketball. I got a 3-year-old monster running around all the time. So I guess bear with me if all of a sudden some little, you know, little shit in the background starts screaming. That would be Isabella. So there you go. We might have some guest appearances by Isabella before this podcast is through. But for right now, she's leaving me alone, and we're going to roll with this. So My topics today, I mean, besides introducing myself, I'm kind of, you know, I wanted to talk about Taker. You know, if anybody who watched Backlash last night, you saw what, not Backlash, Battleground. God, I'm freaking old. I don't even know if anybody remembers Backlash. But if you watched Battleground, you saw what went down. You know, Lesnar's doing his thing, and you think he's on his way to, you know, put up another just ridiculous performance against an opponent in a main event where he just beats the crap out of him. You know, what should rightfully happen? You see a guy as big and as beastly as Brock Lesnar going up against a guy with the size of Seth Rollins, and you can't really imagine it being that fair of a fight. But, I'm going to tell you the rest of the topics before I go deep into it, because I got a lot to say about that. So, I wanted to, you know, do the intro, talk about Taker, you know, talk about Lesnar a little bit, kind of cover Rollins, you know, what my opinion is of him, and what I think he might be capable of moving forward with the future. And Kevin Owens is catching my eye. Now, is he really a product that's going to stand out moving forward? I don't know, but he's got some skill, man. And he's been showing it. It's been on display the last few weeks, ever since he made it to the main roster on Raw, and he hasn't been doing just NXT stuff. Man, he has not disappointed in any way, in my opinion. And then I kind of wanted to cover Cena. You know, I wanted to talk about Cena, and I remember a long time ago, Triple H was on the cover of the WWE magazine. I don't remember if it was WWE or if it was right before WWF changed its name. And the headline was, "The Guy You Love to Hate." And I remember when I saw that, I was like, God damn it, you're right. You know, Triple H is probably going to go down as the greatest heel ever in wrestling, period. ECW, WCW, do whatever you want. Ring of Honor, I don't give a crap. TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it. I don't think anyone can touch Triple H and what he did. He had people hating him so badly, but yet he shreds his knee. Or no, it was his, I think it was his quad. Something bad happened with a leg injury. I forget exactly what it was. And then when he showed back up in his big leather jean jacket, and God, that was just an awesome return. Got this incredible ovation, the fans, the energy. You could just feel it. You just knew how amped he was to be back. I really think it was a quad injury. I'll look it up, but I think that's what took him out for that, you know, extended period of time. But yeah, I'm gonna try to, you know, do this with a little bit of structure here. Let's go back to topic one. Undertaker comes back, right? So if you watch the match, it couldn't have been longer than about 7 minutes. You know, Rollins, first of all, since when, you know, I really hate when the champion comes out first, because that to me is one of the ultimate signs of disrespect. The champ is he's the guy that comes out at the end. I do remember, you know, over the years, there's been rare instances where the champion comes out first. But I can't really think back to what exact instances those were and if they made sense. But it just seemed like, you know, this is like, even though Rollins is holding the title, that Brock's the real champ. You know, he gets to come out second and, you know, gets that pent up excitement. I don't like it. Whether you like Rollins or you hate Rollins, he's got the belt. Don't send him out first. That pissed me off. I really hated that. So, Undertaker... I'm sorry. So Lesnar and Rollins come out, and then all of a sudden, 30 seconds into the match, Lesnar's, throwing Rollins around like a rag doll. Suplex after suplex. Got the count up to 13, which is cool. You know, if there's any kind of... deeper meaning to the number 13, and, the dead man came back, the devil, 13's unlucky, yada, 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 then hats off to them for being that creative. But other than that, whatever, got the count up to 13, and I'm telling you, man, and I'll talk about Rollins a little bit later, but God, he is so fun to just watch get the shit kicked out of him. He's so good at bumping and just freaking... He reminds me of when The Rock used to take the stunner, and The Rock would spring all over the freaking ring, and he would bounce all around like this, just this doll, just go thing, 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 and he'd go bouncing off the ropes. It was the coolest thing to watch. You wanted to watch The Rock get the stunner. You didn't want to necessarily see the stunner. You wanted to watch The Rock get the stunner, because you knew he would get hit and then just go flying out of the ring or something. You didn't know what new was going to happen. It was awesome. I remember when you played the wrestling video games back in during that time, you could pick the regular traditional stunner and then the alternate stunner, which is the one that sent the guy flying all over the ring. And I always picked that one because it looked funnier. But yeah, Rollins really, he takes a beating great. He looks hilarious when he does it. You know, I don't know if it's the whole, he's got the long hair thing and that's being phased out. And, that seems to be a little bit of what's left for old school guys. Like if you got the long hair and you're committed to the wrestler look, like that was the Attitude Era look. You had the long hair, minus The Rock and Stone Cold, but 90% of everybody else, they wanted to get in the industry, or if they were in the industry, you're rocking the long hair. The mullet had its short stay late 80s, early 90s. And it was around, but damn it, the long hair has been around for years and years and years. And I think it helps with that in-ring showmanship in a way. I thought for the longest time the reason why Triple H shaved his head was because he wanted to commit to the non-wrestler look. He wanted to go corporate, and he didn't want to deal with the BS that came behind putting it up and yada, yada, yada. And, when you got long hair, you're a chick. You're in the mirror all the time. All the conditioner and all the crap. It's just too much work for dudes, in my opinion. So you see Rollins just flying around the ring, and you're just watching his body just hit the freaking, just hit the mat. And see, he was doing a little bit of the Rock spring shit. He was flying into the ropes and just, he just looked defeated, just collapsed and broken in half, and you're just like, this is awesome. Because whether you love or you hate Lesnar, and whether you love or you hate Rollins, it's fun to see the David Goliath matchup. You can't help it, no matter who you're rooting for, because no matter what anyone says, Rollins is the David in that matchup. Whether you like David or you hate him, he's the underdog. He's the guy who shouldn't be there, who always seems to find a way out. And Lesnar's the unstoppable force. So, Lesnar... Well, what I was impressed with is that they made you impressed with Rollins for about a minute and a half. Because in the middle of Rollins just taking a beating from Lesnar, he starts going after Brock's knee. Gives him, kicks him, and then goes off the rope, kick. And then once he finally gets Brock to the ground, he gives him a bunch of super kicks, which that's a little segue to my later segment, which is I think Rollins is damn near this generation's HBK. So that was cool to see him put that move on Lesnar that many times. But, He's got Lesnar to the ground, and he's doing everything he can to put damage on him. He gets him out of the ring at one point and starts catapulting himself through, through the ropes to Lesnar and hitting him up against the safety barricade that separates, the outside the ring from the fans. And then eventually, after about the second time he catapults himself out to hit Lesnar to the ground, right as you see him get up to go in for a third time, you see Lesnar right behind him. So you'd know that, you know, the second Rollins springs himself off the ropes, he's going to turn around and just get leveled by Lesnar. And, I mean, that's what ultimately happened. He just gets rocked. Lesnar gets up. Didn't even really take his time, man. Got him up there, gave him the F5. And I apologize to anybody who hasn't already seen it. I'm totally fucking giving the whole thing away. But fuck it. That's what the show is. I got to tell you what happened. I'm sorry, but maybe I'll put it in the fucking description. If you haven't seen it, don't listen. And I fucking swear a lot, so fuck. But Lesnar puts him up, gives him the F5, puts him on the mat, gets to a two count, and then you hear that Undertaker, bang, the bell. And everybody just goes nuts. So, here's my beef, right? This guy only wants to show up once a year. Everybody knows that. So, for the last 4 or 5 years, even longer probably, I can't think of the exact time frame, he's just been doing WrestleMania appearances. He only wants to fight on the biggest stage. Now, do you want to chalk that up to he's earned it? He's a freaking 20-year vet. He can do whatever the hell he wants. I mean, I guess if you're going to give Lesnar that type of freedom, why not the legend, you know? I mean, Lesnar's only a legend because he came in, dominated, left, went to another sport, dominated, and then came back. He did some self-promotion outside of the industry, which built his name up so big, I think. I mean, if you disagree with me, then whatever. But that's why I think Lesnar got so big, is because he is a freak athlete, but he also dominated on multiple platforms. NCAA wrestler, medalist, I mean, the professional fighting, then he comes to wrestling, and he goes back to professional fighting. I mean, come on, he did it, you know? I mean, you want to talk about a guy who lived the American dream? I mean, come on. The amount of money he's made on different platforms, too. Get out of here. But anyways, so you hear the bell. All of a sudden, the lights go out. And probably my biggest problem with the entire night, lights come back on, and Brock's just shitting his pants. Just, he's got this look. This look on his face. He's looking at Taker. Taker's got his eyes wide like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. You ruined the streak. And Brock's like, I can't believe it. So, I got a problem with this for two reasons. For one, Brock's supposed to be unstoppable. Why the hell is he afraid of Taker? You know? He walked into that match with the streak on the line like, who gives a shit? And now all of a sudden he's afraid of him? Like, get the hell out of here. If anything, he's gotten weaker with age, right? I mean, Taker's coming back a year later. He's a year closer to 60. Why the fuck do you care? Look at you. You're in the best shape of your life. 286 pounds, you freak. So I don't like that. I know they got to sell it for the kids. You know, put it on another poster. But I don't like it. You got one guy who's this unstoppable force, this freak. The beast incarnate, as Heyman would say. You can't be a selective beast. You're either the beast or you're not. So don't be a tough guy all the time when you're picking on little guys. And then the second Taker shows up, you're like, oh, man. Oh, God, he's back. So I didn't like that. And then the second reason, for selfish reasons, I don't like it when the champ doesn't get announced the champ. You know? So... Undertaker comes in, basically disqualify, all right? So the DQ happens, because once he hits Lesnar, Lesnar wins by DQ. The title can't change hands by DQ unless it's like a stipulation in the match, which is why I used to love HBK, by the way, because he was the guy back in the day with that. He knew. He didn't want to drop the title. He didn't want to lose. DQ. Hit the guy with the chair. Oh, well, I'm still the champ. And then he walks away all annoying as shit. I loved it. It was hilarious. You hated him. And that's why Shawn Michaels, to me, is the best. and will always be the best until, I mean, God, for at least another 20 years. No one's going to come knocking on that door. But I hate when all this went down. Taker gets Brock, puts Brock on the ground, get, you know, whatever, kicks him in the balls because it was that hard to get him down. And then chokeslam, tombstone, sees Brock moving. How dare you move? I put you on the ground. Comes back in, second tombstone. So I just hate that we never saw Rollins after that. I didn't even know the pay-per-view was over. I had no clue. I'm like sitting there waiting. I'm like, okay, when are we going to get, when is it going to cut back to the Battleground where we actually see Rollins get in the ring, hold his belt and be like, yeah, yeah. And then raise his title and then have Garcia or whoever the hell the ring announcer was that night announce, you know, you're winner by disqualification, Brock Lesnar, but still reigning, defending WWE champion, Seth Rollins. He needs that moment. You don't just let Taker show up, beat the crap out of Brock, walk away, and then that's it. He does his little fist thing to the fucking sky and the lightning bolts happen. Like, really? I didn't like that at all. So whether that's me being bitter because I don't know. I'm not impressed with Undertaker. I think he should have retired years ago. I hate seeing guys who don't know when to mail it in, you know, and hell, maybe Shawn's one of them. You know, maybe Shawn went too long. You know, maybe, because I'm sitting here saying, I wish Triple H was still wrestling. But maybe I'm condescending. Maybe I'm not condescending. Maybe I'm contradicting myself. Maybe by saying that, I'm saying, well, what the hell? Keep it going. But I just think Triple H is in better shape than any of those guys. You know, I mean, come on. Look at him. He's a monster. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life. And he's old. Older. Sorry. I mean, I would love to see Hunter in the ring. He's in awesome shape. He was just on some Fit catalog. Him and his wife, Stephanie. Steph looks great, too. So, I don't know. I hate seeing old guys that just shouldn't be out there. Every time I saw Ric Flair come to the ring the last 5 years, I was afraid he's going to drop dead in the ring. I just think when you look old and your fucking neck skin is hanging off your neck, you shouldn't be out there. I'm sorry. Like, in the thing that, okay, so now we're going to fast forward, right? So that's how Battleground ended. All right. Undertaker takes out Brock. Roll credits. So if you want to know what happened and you don't pay for the pay-per-views, what do? You wait for fucking Raw, right? And the recap happens. You get that little minute program before Raw starts. And it's, you know, it's either a highlight reel or it's still pictures, and you hear the announcers saying what really happened, and that's how you get filled in, right? So the bell goes. Guess who's back? Taker. I've gotten so accustomed to Undertaker only showing up when he wants, which is WrestleMania, and his, like, casual drop-ins on Raw, you know, just to set up for the match, that I don't want to see him in action until WrestleMania, or at least a pay-per-view. I still think it's going to look wrong. SummerSlam, Taker, Lesnar. Like, what the fuck? I don't want to see that guy. Like, what's the deal? Are you hurting for money? Why are you back? You know? Like, why are you back right now? It just seems too soon. Too forced. I don't know. I saw a lot of stuff online that said maybe a Taker Sting thing for WrestleMania would be in the works. If that's the truth, God, that would be awesome. I'd love to see that match, but I would have preferred to have seen it with an undefeated Undertaker. But I just think the streak going down was just the biggest fucking bad decision ever. And creatively, whoever thought of it, if it was you, Hunter, God, bad fucking move, man. You've had some great ideas over the years, but that was a bad fucking move. If it wasn't you and it was somebody else, bad move. If it was Vince, come on, man, bad move. You're pull your head out of your ass, all right? Bad fucking move. The streak was part of the reason why people watched WrestleMania over the last 10 years, because they advertised it. You're like, holy shit, they're right. Taker hasn't lost. So you wanted to tune in for whatever the main event was, but you were pretty much paying attention to see if the streak was going to stay alive. So now you killed that. Why the fuck am I going to watch WrestleMania to see The Undertaker? I don't want to see him now. He lost. He was supposed to be the guy that couldn't be conquered. And then you have him drop the... just bad, bad freaking business. I don't know. To quote this cheesy-ass gimmick that Triple H has got going on right now, that was not best for business, all right? Bad, bad move. But, so anyways, Raw happens, Undertaker shows up. You see him with a mic, and you're just like, God, why even talk? I don't want to hear you talk. Don't talk. Just show up, stalk someone, do some weird electrocution thing with a lightning bolt, and freak everybody out, point to the fucking pay-per-view banner in the rafters, and then we'll get the picture. But, God, I don't even want to see you every day anymore, man. Because every day that you show up is another day that we all realize you're old as shit. And you should have retired. So, man, he shows up, and what's the first thing he does when he picks the mic up? He does this, like, growl. And I'm just instantly pissed off and annoyed. I'm like, dude. And then he gets into his Brock Lesnar, and he's got this like constipated, like that 90s wrestler frog in your throat voice, and he goes on a fucking promo for 3 minutes and his epic, you know, analogies about life and death and selling a soul to the devil, and of course he has to address the streak, and oh, all streaks are meant to be broken. Like, I get it, man. Yeah, but God. So we listen to that, and then he leaves. And, you know, watching him leave the ring with his dress coat, the coat that looks like he's wearing a fucking dress, where he has to... He hits the stairs, and he takes the dress, and he pulls it up so he doesn't trip when he's walking down the steps. So he's literally holding his fucking jacket out like a little fucking, like a little pansy as he like, walks down the stairs, but still needs to maintain this badass, larger-than-life image. Like, I hate that, too. Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? The only look that ever worked for him was the Ministry thing. Scary as fuck. Just black everything and heavy fucking just gothic. You're scary. It worked. It was scary. It worked on me. I was scared. I'm like, fuck this guy. So now he's just like half and half. He comes out with a gay little, like, sorry, not gay as in that, but as with, comes out with this stupid little wrestling tight shirt on. And he, you know, black pants, and he's got his stupid cowboy hat with his little dress skirt jacket. Like, dude, what are you doing? God, it's just stupid. Stupid ring attire. Go back to the Ministry look, or go back to American Badass with your fucking ponytail, your tattoos, come out on your motorcycle. Like, I don't know what the fuck he wants to do. He's just half-assing it. Black leather fucking pants. Oh, yeah, and then he's got his fucking UFC gloves on. Like, really? In a sport where we know a closed fist is not allowed, you're going to show up wearing your fucking UFC gloves? God, give me a break. I think JR had a thing. He had a podcast. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I only listen to ones I'm interested in. And, like, you got to have a good guest for me to listen to your podcast. He said the closed fist needs to be taken out of wrestling. They need to go to, like, an elbow. Like, every strike needs to be, like, the China elbow, where you just hit him with the meat of your outside of your elbow. Because it's just so obvious, and it looks so freaking terrible when you have a closed fist and you go to punch the dude. The dude reacts, but you, like, if you watched it back on slow motion, the fist doesn't come within a foot of the face. It's like, dude, what are we doing? Like, God, go to clotheslines or something, or just do kicks. Like, punching's so useless in this sport, because everybody knows it's bullshit. Even the kids nowadays know it's bullshit. So anyways, they go, I don't know, middle of the show. I correct myself. Taker leaves. Paul Heyman comes out, does his, you know, monologue, does his promo. Awesome. I love Heyman. He'll get you pumped for anything. Does his thing. And then the bell hits, Taker's in the ring. And you're like, awesome. So now Taker's going to beat down Lesnar, send the message to Brock, and we're going to do this for the next 2 weeks. Nope. Shocked me. Totally caught me off guard. Lesnar shows up, comes running down, his music hits, and then they just start beating the crap out of each other. Then all of a sudden, security comes out, separates them. That's not enough because, excuse me, these two guys are larger than life. And then a bunch of, you know, Triple H comes out. You see him waving more people down to the ring. A bunch of superstars. Well, I don't even call them superstars because they're basically all the B-level guys. You know, the fucking, the R-Truths and the two guys that are trying to pretend that they're the Legion of Doom. And, like, all these just, all the B-level scrubs. I mean, I say scrubs, but, you know, these guys are doing what I would love to do and I could never do because I could never be in this kind of shape that they are and, you know, do what they do, but fuck it, they're scrubs, they're B-level scrubs. So they come out, R-Truth and all these guys, and Adam Rose, and you know, the fucking, the rock band Tools, and everybody's like trying to help, you know, with Sheamus and everybody, trying to keep people separate, Wade Barrett, and then, you know, they do their whole thing where they each break out, and you know, that no 10-man group can hold me back. Like, I'm sorry, dude. You could be, I don't even know, you could be the strongest man in the fucking world. 10 people can hold you back. Easy. Probably 5. 4 guys and a small child can hold the strongest man in the world back against the turnbuckles. So I get annoyed when I see groups of 15 guys holding a single guy back, and then all of a sudden that single guy overpowers that 15 male crew of bodybuilders and steroid abusers. and they just can't separate these two guys because they're just so tough. But anyways, they do their thing, and then it ends up turning into, you know, they separate them finally, get them all outside back in the backstage area. Then they find each other again and yada, yada, yada. And ultimately, the fake police officers have to show up and cuff these guys, get them out. And that's the last that we see of Brock and Undertaker on Monday Night Raw tonight. So, I mean, back to what I was saying, I just can't stand the old guys that don't want to hang it up. Like, I hope to God this is the last year for Undertaker, because I get it. You know, the end of the era match was freaking awesome. Triple H, Undertaker with Michaels as the special guest referee. That was the icing on the cake, because you were able to watch Shawn react to the match and basically be a part of the match even before the Sweet Chin Music came out. You know, and he kind of just was there to tell the story even more than Undertaker and Triple H. And then at the end when they all, like, you know, helped each other up, and at the top of the Titantron, you know, just raised their hands and just kind of, like, it was that ultimate curtain call for the Attitude Era. And that should have been the goddamn end of it. But Taker doesn't know when to fucking hang it up. And he's going to just, I don't know, he's going to be that ugly dude. The ugly old guy that shows up with the saggy man tits that just won't fucking go away. Where his skin is just going to be fucking melting off of his frame, of his body. And he's still going to be out there. It's like, why? Send him home, please. Like, Triple H, you got to know when this is it. Like, I'm begging you. This has got to be it. Just preserve him in our minds. I don't want to see him come out all old and weak. I want to remember him as, like, the great Undertaker. I don't want to see him struggling to put up a 286-pound dude for a tombstone. That's the other thing. If any of you have WWE Network for $9.99, go back and watch Battleground. Fucking Undertaker, when he goes to lift up Brock Lesnar, it looks like he's going to fucking shit his pants and then go into a heart attack. I'm not being hard on him. I'm being fucking honest. I felt bad. It's like when you watch your grandfather or your older parent try to do something that they used to be able to do, and then all of a sudden reality sets in, and you see them like, oh, shit, I can't do this anymore. And you just feel like shit watching it. That's what that, I swear. I swear to God. Just go back. Watch it. You felt bad for the poor bastard. You know? At that moment, you gotta just mail it in, dude. Like, he went for two tombstones, and each time, that in-between part where he's lifting the dude up, but then he has to clear the first leg, each time it looked like Taker was going to drop Lesnar on his head. I'm just saying, guy. Listen, Undertaker, you're going to fucking hate me if you hear this, but I mean, if you hear this, I must be doing something right. But you got to mail it in, dude. Again, you could kick my ass, I understand, but geez, you probably got more money than any of us know what to do with, so why are you doing this, man? Like, don't Brett Favre me. Just fucking retire. Alright? Ah, man. So, Rest Hold Wrestling is brought to you by Airheads. Airheads. Delicious, chewy candy. It'll keep you up all fucking night. Hopped up on sugar. Airheads. Brought to you by Airheads. I eat them all the time. I love them. So, on to the next topic. Seth Rollins. I like him. I think he is the closest thing to Shawn Michaels that we are going to see. Bold statement. I know. If you disagree with me, I mean, I'd like you to, like, write in and tell me why. You know, this show, we're a product of the Overtime Sports News Network. It's the OTSNN.com. Check it out. Click on the WWE tab. Hell, you click on the Dustin tab. You know where to find me. You know, send me a message. I don't care. I'll debate until I'm blue in the face. Find us on the Book of Faces. You can find us on Twitter, whatever. We're everywhere. I think he's awesome. I really do. I don't know. You can call it a man crush, call it whatever you want. I just think he brings a lot of that annoying. I don't know. There's just something, like, you see him, what he does, his little shit-eating grin, and that ha 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 ha, that annoying, pompous laugh. That's what we can't stand, and that's why he's so good, and that's the thing, right? Triple H, the guy you loved to hate back in the day. Maybe that's what Rollins is on to. Hell, he's performing Triple H's special move, right? I don't know why he got rid of the curb stomp. I don't know if it was some BS, you know, safety precaution, like we're not allowed to hit people in the head with chairs anymore. I mean, I personally hate any kind of special move that involves a top turnbuckle or some kind of setup, like the 619 where the guy's going to be draped over the ropes and then you go in and do the special. I like the traditional special moves. You can just kick the guy and fucking do it. You know what I mean? The stunner, the rock bottom. I don't like I love Jeff Hardy. He was freaking awesome. And the Swanton Bomb was some freaking awesome stuff to watch. But I hated the fact that he needed to be on the turnbuckle. And 9 times out of 10, you could always see somebody coming to just push him off. And then he couldn't do it. Like, I don't like that. I like the specials that you just do in a blink of an eye. Sweet chin music. Bam! Right to the chin. Guy's out. RKO. It's DDP. Diamond Dallas Page, the Diamond Cutter. It's the same fucking thing. So anyways, Rollins, I think he brings a lot of the same stuff to the table that a young HBK did anyways. He's got a long way to go. He's still a kid. Hell, he's only been on the main roster for probably 6-7 months now, right? It hasn't been that long since he was the NXT guy. So this is the stuff that he does, you know, where he's got this, like, group of dicks that follow him around, you know, J&J Security, Kane. Doesn't it just remind you of HBK and Diesel? You know, he needed that bodyguard because he just couldn't do it himself. Actually, I want to correct that. He could do it because you bought Shawn Michaels when he fought Yokozuna in Vader. You bought that this dude could beat them because he had that relentless in-ring ability, right? But this is where I think they're ruining Rollins. You got to let him win a couple matches on his own here. I feel like Rollins is on like a streak of like incomplete matches. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw Seth Rollins win a match with a finishing maneuver of his own and get his hand raised. So you respected him. I think they're just rolling with this whole slime ball roll, and they got to dial it back a touch here, unless they're just trying to run him into the dirt, which they very well might be. I don't know. I mean, I wish I had a direct line to the H's. But I don't, so I don't know what the hell they're doing, but he's good on the mic. He's got the look, you know. He's in good shape. He's athletic as fuck. I remember seeing a match a little while ago, and he did, like, the most ridiculous off-the-top rope thing, and I'm like, holy shit. I didn't expect that out of him. Like, he's got some major acrobatic ability. And that's huge. I think he is one of the diamonds in the rough right now. And I think, like I said, I see him as a young HBK. Now, if that's because I'm a super fan of HBK and I'm hoping for the best, who the fuck knows? But I really do, man. I think they move a lot like each other. And I think if you go back and watch a lot of the promos that Sean did, I really don't think anybody can touch Sean on a mic other than, like, Punk and Hunter. And maybe The Rock. But I just feel like Seth's good on a mic. He's really athletic. They got to give him some wins, though. He needs to just win so he can win some of the WWE Universe's respect, you know? Everybody looks at him as this, like, whiny bitch, and it's because all he does is come out, bitch and moan, and then he never finishes a fight, and nobody likes that. Why does everybody miss the Attitude Era? Because you could watch the dude beat the shit out of his boss, and it was just beatdowns and blood and fight, and it was just fun. It was exciting. It was everybody's just escape from their bullshit reality, and I don't like this... PG or G-rated fucking era. It sucks. And I'm sorry for, like, the people that are involved in this era, because I think it makes them look like shit. But, man, yeah, I just don't think this touches the Attitude Era, man. I don't even think it touches the post-Attitude Era, that awkward in-between stage where it wasn't quite G-rated, but it didn't know what it wanted to be. But anyways, I really gotta get that out there. I think Rollins is awesome for the sport, for the business, and I think they need to keep giving him the keys to the car. I'm just so sick of seeing Cena, and I'm even a Randy Orton fan, and I'm sick of seeing Randy just stuck in the middle of nothing. Like, he's not in title matches. He doesn't have any good storylines. He's just there. It's like, well, what the fuck? Like, you can't tell me that Battleground in St. Louis would have been a perfect title match scenario for Randy Orton. But, you know, he's not sucking the right people off, so he's not in those matches. So it just sucks, because I don't know what the hell's going on with him. But,
what else?
Oh, God, I'm fucking yawning. It's only 12:21. I'm just... tired, but the worst part is I'll be up until 5 a.m. messing with the website and everything. But yeah, I mean, I want other people to let me know what they think about the Rollins thing, because I really do. I think he is the new HBK, and I mean, I don't want to put the label on him, because then that sets the bar so high, because there are a lot of people that think HBK is the greatest ever, period. So, I mean, you're going to get that comparison this early? That's a fucking... that is a big-ass monkey on your back, kid. And I don't want to do that to him. So, I just see a lot of similarities. And there's certainly worse people to be compared to. So I hope he realizes that, and I just want him to live up to his potential. Whether it's heel, you know, or babyface, I don't really care. All right, so next, Kevin Owens. So, from a casual viewer's point of view, the guy shows up and he's got the NXT belt. If you don't watch NXT, basically, consider it like the development league for the main brand, right? Raw. I mean, I guess you could consider SmackDown the development league, and this is like the really, really minor leagues. But whatever. I mean, for all the people who are in, you know, denial, fine. SmackDown's on the same level as Raw. Whatever. We all know that's bullshit. But all right. So NXT is kind of like where the new guys, they get to get their feet wet and understand what it's like in front of a big live audience and, you know, promo the Titantron. You get the whole ordeal. You get just dumped into the water, right? Thrown into the pool, sink or swim. So this kid shows up on Raw. I think there's a Cena U.S. Open challenge, and he shows up. Maybe I'm wrong. Actually, I think I am, because I think I remember he beats Cena, but it wasn't for a title match. And everybody's like, oh my god, he beat Cena! And then that's what started this whole Kevin Owens-Cena angle. So yeah, so that's what happened. He shows up, he beats Cena, but it's not for the title. And then eventually they fight a bunch of times. No titles change hands. I thought what would have been an awesome thing, I thought it would have been cool if Owens, after he's being cocky after the win against Cena, comes out, and then Cena's like, you know what? How about we fight for that? And then they fight for the NXT title. Cena takes the NXT title from him, and then you really have a reason to, you know, to see Owens upset with Cena. But I don't know. Another opportunity missed. You know, WWE writers, you can give me a call. I got a bunch of great ideas for you that you still haven't done. But yeah, I mean, I think that would have been awesome. You see Cena just be the bully and win the the development league championship and just carry that around as like a FU token. I think it would have been awesome. It would have made me like Cena at least a little bit. But no, they didn't, and blah blah blah. So anyways, the kid is crazy athletic. I saw pictures. He used to be, I want to say, like 60 pounds lighter. I don't know why he put the weight on. I don't know if it's because they're like, listen, you're too thin for this business. We need you to put weight on. I don't know if something bad happened. He started eating his way into his, you know, out of his depression. I don't know. But the dude, it has way more weight on him than when he first came into this business. He claims he's had like a 10 to 15 year career. And I've seen older pictures, and he's thin as fuck. And now he is anything but that. So, I mean, guy, you're getting paid probably big money to be doing what you're doing. Get on a fucking treadmill. Unless they're telling you to stay looking like that. Like, come on. It'd be a lot easier for people to root for you if you didn't look like a fucking out of shape dad with your fucking weird ass neck beard. This is another example of a big dude with athletic ability. Usually the big guys that can move like freaking athletes are because what happened was is they're freaking great shape. They got hurt. They gained a shit ton of weight, but they can still move just a little bit slower. And this dude, some of the moves he was putting on Cena are moves I've never seen before. He had him on the top rope in like the weirdest position, dropped him down where Cena's shoulder landed on his knee, and it was like just the craziest move I've ever seen. Something new. I never saw it before, but that's cool. That's the evolution of the game. You see new shit. So it was exciting. And watching this match, but the one problem I had with the Battleground match with Kevin Owens and John Cena is this goddamn new fucking thing where we're going to give each other 7 goddamn special moves and you never know which one's going to be the one that seals it. What the fuck? What happened to wrestling when you saw the stunner? It was over. I hate that they've done this. This is like the new thing. Let's see how many special moves we can do to each other until one of them finally gives up. Like, dude, you're killing it. You're ruining it for everybody. Like, I don't care about the tools that are excited to see the special move 20 times over. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, if you want to chalk that up to being a real wrestling fan, then fine. I'm not a real fucking wrestling fan. I just want to know that when I see something, the match is over. Not see a special move and then see the guy kick out, because then that makes me think that special move is just going to become an average move. You get what I'm saying? Like, when you see one of those clotheslines that sends the dude to, like, a sideways spinning flip, you're just like, eh, I'm over it, whatever. Yeah, you got clothesline really bad. You're not going to see him getting pinned after that. What the fuck happened to when Bradshaw would lay on the clothesline from hell and then the match would be over, right? So this is what happens. I don't want to see the point where all of a sudden, you know, the FU and the F5 are just casual moves in everybody's book, where you just see one of those in the middle of a match, and then they go to a quick two, you know, that 2 3/4 count, and they kick out at the last second. I hate that. Make the special moves the special moves, please. I mean, who the fuck am I? I know, but Jesus, I have some valid points here. You know, I know that a lot of the young kids probably won't be able to listen to this because I say fuck and shit every other 5 seconds. But, come on. I got a lot of good points here. You know, you remember the WrestleMania where Daniel Bryan is the champ? He shows up 5 seconds into the match. Sheamus gives him the bro kick, pins him, match over. Like, what the hell? How come in all the WWE video games I used to play, you couldn't do a special until you beat the shit out of the guy for like 3 minutes and then built up like the little bar to give you the special move in order to use only when the guy is dazed and you kick him in the right, you know, the certain way? Like, come on. I know I'm comparing real life to a video game here, but like, you got to have some form of consistency. I don't want to see 5 fucking special moves, you know? 2 is cool. 3, pushing it. 4, too much, sorry. Too much. And then when the guy does the other guy's special move to him, okay, it's kind of cool because you're like, ooh, talk about a slap to the face, like the ultimate yo mama joke. I'm going to give Triple H the pedigree. Okay, I get it, but I could do without it. All right, last one. I want to try to keep this at 2 an hour. I'm at about 53 minutes, so fuck it. John Cena. I fucking hate him. Why? Not because I want to be him. Not because I think he looks like Mark Wahlberg. No. I just fucking hate him because I'm so sick of his cheesy fucking shit. Never give up. I always come in. I give 150% for the fans, no matter what, because they know that I will never give up. He's like the ultimate cartoon, like, tool for all the little kids to look up to. And if that's what he's going for, I get it. Like, you're going to just be the all-time, you know, always baby face. He's got the best job in the industry because what? He never has to be a heel, so he'll never take a pay cut, meaning people aren't going to stop buying his merchandise because they think he's a dick, like Punk had to do a lot, where he would become a heel, and all of a sudden that hurt his paycheck, that hurt his pockets. You know, people want to deny that. BS, give Punk a call. He'll tell you all about it. But, I mean, come on, dude. I'm so sick of seeing guys like John freaking just... I'm so sick of him. It's the same shit every time. Like, I feel like now is like that all-time, like, yeah, this is how you know Cena's the best. He doesn't even need to be the WWE champ to be, like, the better champ. Like, he's given the U.S. title more legitimacy. Like, dude, I thought the U.S. title was cooler than this new ugly-ass one anyways. It's red, white, and blue. The thing's badass. I thought the Stone Cold Steve Austin version of the world title was better than the real version of the world title. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. This new title looks like shit. I don't know who came up with it. I think The Rock, he debuted it or whatever. Like, God, you couldn't be more fucking egotistical and cunty and into yourself than to make the entire face of the fucking title a big WW symbol? Two fucking W's is going to be the main face of the fucking title? You can't even make it a cool, like, emblem, like, big gold plate like it was? God, it looks like shit. Bad call, whoever that was. Hunter, Vince, creative team, where the fuck okayed that? That title looks like shit. I'd rather see the old women's one with the fucking butterfly on it. Hell, bring back the European title. I don't know, man. I'm so sick of Cena thinking that he's bigger than the company. I fucking hate that. I hate guys that walk around and don't even say it. Like, he is the ultimate fucking real life heel. He's a cunt. I've heard stories from people that have met him out in public. He's a cunt. John Cena is a cunt. I can't stand him. People have said he is a cunt. When you meet him, he's a piece of shit. He's a baller. He only does the publicly, like, hey, all right, nice to meet you. Who has cancer? I'm going to fly out and put my fucking face on attached to that and make me look even better for talking to somebody who's battling, cancer. Like, dude, fuck you. When the fuck have you just shown up at somebody's wedding to help, to surprise them and hook them up? You know, like, when have you done anything cool that's been from your heart? I understand, 365 days a year, you're on the road, I get it. Or 350, whatever the fucking math is, I get it. You got a hard job, I'll never get to know what you're going through, I understand. But dude, God, man, I mean, just the look on your face, just all these bullshit promos that you do every fucking week about being the man and never giving up, it's getting old, man. I'd respect you more if you went to be a heel. If you were a heel, I'd respect you more. I'm so sick and tired of your... it's just so cheesy, dude. I mean, whatever. You also originally came into the company and stood for, like, the one thing I hate in life, and that's a wigger. The white fucking tool who's pretending to be black and consumed by the hip-hop culture. I hate everything that you stand for, dude. Your character is dog shit. If you thought of it, I'm sorry, man. You're an idiot. Whoever thought of it, if you didn't, they're an idiot. That character is just... it's shitty. You once took a dig at Adam Rose in the middle of one of your promos. Oh, if this was da-da-da-da-da-da, you'd still see the Rosebuds running around and yada-yada-yada. Dude, the Rosebuds and Adam Rose were an actually, like, decent character. Your wigger bullshit who came out and rapped and did his little thug life BS. Come on, dude. You really think that was anything worth watching? You are part of the reason why I stopped watching wrestling. I stopped because you were on top. And you were in the beginning of every fucking Raw and SmackDown. I couldn't stand you. I don't know, man. Like... Don't like walk around thinking you're the shit, like, oh yeah, man, he hates me. He's a hater, that's all. No, fuck that, man. I would prefer never see you ever again in a wrestling ring. It's not that I love to hate you like I love to hate Triple H back in the day and like I love to hate Rollins. It's that I literally hate you that I wish you weren't a part of the company. You get it? So, I don't know, man. I'm so sick of Cena. I'm pissed he retained the title. He should have dropped it to this Owens kid last night. Whether they really do it, who knows? Hell, look at fucking Owens t-shirts. Red, white, and blue. Is that a little subliminal hat tip? Like, hey, here's your new U.S. champ in the waiting. His damn shirts show it. Red, white, and blue. Might as well have the champ is here with a fucking fake belt written on the bottom like Mr. Cena. You can't see me. Whatever. All right. I'm done. I have talked shit about certain things and certain people for a solid hour. I'm exhausted. Thank you for listening, if you're listening. Thank you for playing this, if you're just playing it, just to let play in the background. Whatever. Check out our website. Overtime Sports News Network. The website is theotsnn.com. Click on the WWE tab. We have constant stuff on there. and just play the podcasts. All righty? blogtalkradio.com/theotsnn.com. Have a good one. All right. This has been the Wrestling Podcast with Dustin Bork. Take it easy.